Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The only way I know how to describe what I saw on Monday night as Kansas folded in the final moment against the Texas Longhorns is just the incredible shock that we have when this happens to the Kansas Jayhawks. They are so good in close games and almost always win these things that it was just shocking to see Texas go 7-0 in the final minute of the game on Monday night. Another thing that ran through my head was, this is shocking, but the ones that we remember, the times that we've seen this, not always, because generally speaking, when Kansas gets punched out in the NCAA tournament, it's a team that has a really hot night, shooting threes, the shots are all going in, and they can lose by 8 points, 10 points, or be down by 8 or 10 and make a run and not be able to finish it off or something like that. But that's what this was not. There have been a few like this, and we want to think maybe of the NCAA tournament or the postseason, but not really. It's a really short list of games that we've seen in Bill Self's tenure at Kansas where something like this has happened. Up 4 with a minute to go, and the Kansas Jayhawks lose the final minute 7-0. And yes, there was a very lucky Trey Mitchell banked 3-point shot that went in. But as Bill Self would say after the game, crap like that happens in ball games from time to time. KU still had a bad defensive possession and a bad offensive possession after that that cost them the game. And the compliment here is, look, Kansas is still in first place. They're still huge favorites to win the Big 12, in my mind. They've already just destroyed Baylor. They're finished with Texas Tech. So, to me, they're a very big favorite. I thought they looked good most of the night. They did. Texas has the number one defense in the country, and Kansas shot over 50%. I mean, they look good offensively. They're moving the ball around. When you watch and you use the eye test, you could see how much more efficient Kansas is offensively, moving the ball around, creating shots, getting opportunities to shoot, and that was borne out statistically in this game. I thought, even though it was a very close game all night, it was a very physical game all night, Kansas looked like the better team most of the night, mostly because Texas was 3 of 20 from 3. But one of those three, I mean, they're sitting there 2 of 19, folks. One of those threes was with a minute left that was just the ugliest shot you've ever seen that backed off the backboard and through the hoop. It was a terrific regular season college basketball game. The compliment in all this, as I've said, is that Kansas never loses. The proof is in the pudding. They were 4-0 this year in games decided by 5 points or less. Now, I think there's going to be a lot of, I've already read in some of the recounts and the media coverage of this game, and I don't think this is fair. I think we get a little too much on the pro-KU bandwagon on some of these things. In reading most people's takes on this game, it was, oh, Texas was lucky, they slopped one in. Okay, fine. So was Kansas lucky when they pulled that game out against Kansas State? Nobody thought of it that way because it was Kansas beating Kansas State. Nobody thinks of that as lucky at the end of that game, but there was a lot of luck in that game. There was a massive free throw disparity. There was all kinds of things going on in that game after Kansas State just dominated and had a 16-point lead at halftime. But I don't know anyone, including Kansas State fans, that walked away and said, well, that's lucky. That's not right. The better team didn't win. I don't know anybody that said that or thought that. We're conditioned to see Kansas win games like that and walk away and say, well, the better team eventually won. I've often described this with Kansas basketball. For most of their opponents, the game is just too long. There's a long list of teams that have halftime leads or are tied at halftime. There's a long list, not quite as long, of teams that lead at the 10-minute mark or are tied or within a basket or two at the 10-minute mark. And then there's about half of that list of those teams lose by double digits. You have the lead at the half. You know, maybe you're up 5, like Texas was yesterday. You're up 5 at the half. You're tied at the 10-minute mark, and you lose by 11. We've seen that so many times, we can't count the number of times that happens. The game is too long. The best team wins. That's what this looked like, and that's what this felt like to me. What was shocking was the final minute of play. And I know Texas can do things defensively to make you uncomfortable offensively, but we didn't see a lot of that. They hold their opponents to 55 points a game, but Kansas was scoring relatively efficiently all night long. In the end, Texas did one very important thing that if you do it in a college basketball game, in a Big 12 game at home, you've got a great chance to beat anyone. Texas was 20 out of 23 at the free throw line. And I'm not giant into stats or breaking a lot of different things down, but that's a pretty easy one. Both teams shot 23 free throws. Texas hit 20 of them. KU hit 15, which is not embarrassing. There's nothing wrong. That's not terrible. You know, that's close to 70%, isn't it? Or 68% for Kansas at the free throw line. That's not terrible. What they shot, Texas was just better at the line. Do you want to see a game decided at the line? No. Was it really decided at the line? No. These teams played physical. They played hard. There were a lot of different ways this thing could go. In the end, Texas won the final minute 7-0. We've seen Kansas do that 1,000 times. But man, it is shocking and surprising when it happens against them. And we know they're really good in these games. But I guess I didn't realize that was the only one they've lost. I mean, they've poured their way through this league, winning a lot of close games, especially against some inferior opponents. And I can't look at Texas and say, well, inferior opponent. They're not as skilled basketball players. They're not as skilled shooters as KU has. But they're physical. They're athletic. They're well-coached. Chris Beard is the real deal. His team is going to keep improving. They got a bunch of transfers. You know the drill. But, boy, it was shocking to watch this thing fall apart for Kansas. And I guess the Big 12 technically is still open for business, for someone to come in and win it other than Kansas, but I don't know who that will be. I mean, the best Baylor could do at this point, and I don't like Baylor's shooters. They've got injuries. They don't shoot. You know, what were they? 7 of 27 from 3 against Kansas on Saturday, combined with 3 out of 20. What are we talking about here? 10 out of 47? We're talking about 20% three-point shooting against Kansas, and that's up. That's with a banked shot in as the final shot for Texas. And I remember specifically looking, I think Baylor was either 3 out of 19 or 2 out of 19 at one point in that game. And at the end, when Kansas took their best players out, they hit a couple of threes and went from a 34-point lead to a 24-point win. Baylor made some three-point shots there. When actually contesting shots with their best players on the court in the last two games against Baylor and Texas, Kansas is holding its three-point opponent shooting to about 15%. It's remarkable. And it matters. It's not just guys lining up missing shots. In fact, Texas made 3 in this game last night. One was a triple guarded slop in at the buzzer before the half. The other was a bank shot right at the end of the final minute. So they made 2 desperation threes, Texas did. One at the end of the half on the buzzer and one with a minute to go, down 4 in desperation. So you can't take those two away because they went in. But honestly, in just like regular play of the game last night, regular play, just regular defense, regular offensive sets, regular play, Texas was 1 out of 18 from 3. That is remarkable defense by Kansas. It doesn't happen by accident. Yes, your opponents can have bad shooting nights. And yes, we've seen Kansas in the NCAA tournament meet a team where they shoot their brains out. Kentucky did it a couple of weeks ago. Kentucky's not a good three-point shooting team. And they made a bunch of them against Kansas. It's the wildest swinging variable in college basketball, three-point shooting, because nobody's really great at it. Gonzaga's probably the closest. There are teams out there that are good at it, but there are nights that good teams can go out and shoot 3 out of 18 from 3. It can happen. We've seen it. And there are nights that bad shooting teams, I don't know if Kansas State is a bad shooting team because Nigel Pack's really good three-point shooter, but in the first half against Kansas, that was ridiculous. I want to say, were they 7 out of 10 from 3 in the first half against Kansas? Something like that. I mean, that's pretty hard to beat when that's going on. And I remember watching that game thinking, these are contested threes. These are not defensive lapses. A couple of them, Nigel Pack was just like falling out of bounds into the bench, and they were going in. The kid's gifted. He's a good player. He doesn't always do that. Nigel Pack generally has a really good half shooting and then a mediocre half shooting. He's a streak shooter, but in each game that he plays, he generally has one half where he's pretty hard to stop, and he makes a bunch of threes. That's not what this was on this Monday night. This was a slugfest, and Trey Mitchell slopped one in with a minute to go, but that didn't end the game. Kansas still had the ball in the lead and a 2-for-1. They designed a really nice play. Abaji was going to lob it, and as he lobbed it to McCormick at the rim, which would have been a beautiful play, they were getting their 2-for-1. It was great coaching. It was everything we're accustomed to seeing with Bill Self's teams. And Abaji lobbed the pass up, and it hit the rim. Instead of getting cleanly to McCormick for the easy dunk, it grazed the rim, and Texas grabbed the ball. And then they went down, and KU did have a bad defensive possession. Texas scored easily, and then the rest is pretty famous after that. But even with the slop three going in, Kansas did the right thing. They got their timeout. They set up their 2-for-1, which nobody else in the league seemingly does. If you watch other teams, you're like, why don't they do this? Bill Self's a master at it. He always has a play coming out of a timeout, and he did. When everybody, Abaji drives the lane, when everybody converges on Abaji, he lobs it up for what would have been a simple dunk. Now, maybe we credit Texas's defense on Abaji as he's driving in the lane. Maybe the pass was insanely difficult because of Texas defense. I didn't see it that way. I didn't think it was an easy pass. I've never thought the lob passes are easy. The guys that can do this so well, I don't, man, it's hard. They make it look way easier than it is. This one caught a piece of the rim, and that maybe was the biggest issue in the stretch for Kansas, because if they get that lob dunk, that ball game's over. Texas is going to be deflated. They have a possession, but they're down three, and Kansas is still getting the ball back. So the odds at that point would have been ridiculous against Texas. A shocking loss for the Jayhawks that doesn't really mean much. That's the beauty of what Kansas does most years. They're so good. They have so much cushion, so much pad. Would it eventually affect their seeding in the tournament? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. They're ranked eighth in the country right now, but they're leading the Big 12. They win the Big 12. Kansas is probably going to be a one seed. They just are. If they win the Big 12, and it's not a tiebreaker situation, I think people will look at the conference. I think the committee will meet. I think Kansas will probably still be a one seed. They get an easy one Saturday. I don't think Oklahoma's any good at all. I think the new coach there has got a lot of work to do, and I think he's a terrific coach. Obviously, they're thrilled with their hire, but I think Kansas playing it out. Kansas plays, they get a breath. I haven't looked at the schedule. They play it Saturday at home on national TV every week. It's a great deal to be a Jayhawk fan. You live in Kansas City. Your school's 40 minutes away. They play on Saturdays at home all the time. There's just very few Tuesday nights you got to drive out there. It's like every Saturday, the TV networks want them on national TV. They get home games. It's a great setup, man. They've got a great, great situation at Kansas, the loss on Monday night notwithstanding, but it's always a shock when that happens. That will be the last game in the Irwin Center for the Kansas Jayhawks, as Texas will move to the Moody Center next year in Austin. This is built on campus right next to the football stadium. They're going to tear the Irwin Center down. Unless I missed it, they didn't do a big thing on it last night showing everyone what's going on there. They're tearing the Irwin Center down and turning it into the Dell Computers Medical School. But that isn't really the point. The point is the Moody Center. And I thought, Moody's, isn't that a... I remember something called Moody's Powder used to be a sponsor in NASCAR. You guys remember that? It was like headache or hangover relief or something. Moody, I thought, is that the same family? What's the Moody Center? Is that named after a product? What is the Moody Center? So I looked it up, and maybe you folks, look, a lot of people who listen to this podcast know a lot about Texas, a lot more about Texas than I know, and know exactly who the Moody's are. I know who the Hunt family is. They're a big, famous Texas family. They own the Kansas City Chiefs. We know some famous families in Texas and some famous people in Texas, but I wasn't really familiar with the Moody's. Next year, the Moody Center opens. It will seat 15,000. It's going to be state-of-the-art. It will seat just a little over 10,000 for basketball. But the real mojo behind this thing is music events, concerts. Matthew McConaughey was involved in raising the money. One of the live event companies, not AEG, it's one of the other ones. Live Nation is involved in this. So next week, Eric Church is going to be playing here at T-Mobile Center. There's no place in Austin really for that. The Irwin Events Center is the closest thing, and it's a dump, to be honest. It's 40-some years old. It's a dump. They're building the state-of-the-art arena, and the acoustical sound apparently is going to be phenomenal. Austin is known for live music, and this is going to be a perfect-size 15,000-seat concert hall that hosts Texas basketball. It's on campus, and it was spurred by the Moody family giving something like $150 million toward this project. It's going to come in at under $400 million, but it's going to be just an amazing arena. So I like history. I like history more the older I get. And the Wonder Destroyer on my phone is always great for looking up history. My wife's sister calls Google or any search engine the Wonder Destroyer because you wonder about things and it just destroys your wonder. She thinks wonder is a great thing. To wonder and want to seek out information is a great thing. To be curious is a great thing. And the iPhone and Google just destroy that because it takes it away in 5 minutes, which is true, but eventually we learn more. Colonel Moody in the 1850s moved from Virginia to Galveston. He wound up being a Civil War colonel for the Confederate. He was an officer. He moved to Galveston because he thought this was the land of opportunity. Many people were moving west at this time for opportunity. He was a very smart man. He served valiantly and bravely. He was wounded in the Civil War, but he settled in Galveston, Texas, where they became cotton traders. There's probably some really ugly history in the Moody family, if we want to go there. They don't seem to care at Texas. I don't hear about anybody canceling the Moody family or the billions, with a B, of dollars the Moody's have given to, through their foundation, to different charities and causes around the state of Texas, not just the University of Texas. But these folks have gone from one generation to the next, and their foundation is over $3 billion. And essentially, when markets go up, as they have, and they make hundreds of million dollars off their billions, they just turn around and donate it all. So no big deal for them doing this. They've donated to all kinds of stuff at the University of Texas and around the state of Texas. But they're a very interesting read if you want to read about them. They're still around today. That doesn't appear that there's anybody in their family as great today as the original Colonel Moody was for setting all this up. So maybe they're a bunch of spoiled kids living off the billions of dollars, but they seem to be good people, very charitable people. Their foundation, I think, is maybe worth more than the head of the Moody family now, which is kind of cool. You know, a lot of people like Bill Gates has a big foundation that has billions of dollars in it, but he has 10 times that many billions himself. That doesn't sound like that's the case here. These people have a few billion dollars, but their foundation has about as much, and they do a lot of great things. You can decide for yourself whether building Texas a basketball arena is a great thing, but it really goes to the heart of the matter of the problem that we're going to have with college athletics going forward, because this foundation, if Texas basketball is important to them, this foundation can easily grab one of their companies and say, we're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to basketball players to play basketball at the University of Texas and just pay them to do commercials for our businesses, overpay them. They can do that. They have that kind of money. It's set up through a foundation. There are businesses within the family that could host these sorts of things. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. Look, I don't think Kansas basketball is ever going to be thought of as any sort of an underling when it comes to money. There are really, really a ton of exceptionally wealthy people that have, like the Moody's and like others at Texas A&M this year, with their recruiting hall that they spent millions of dollars on and promises of NIL, which is basically endorsements to players. I think Kansas will fit right in. I think they're going to have all kinds of people lining up saying, look, we don't have to build a $400 million basketball arena. We can funnel our money to the players. We don't need a lot of, you know, brick and mortar projects. We don't need facilities. We don't need that. We have what we need at Kansas. We have history. We have tradition. We have a sold out building. We have a lot of things that are really great here. We could take the money of our donors and funnel it to players. The question is, does that then start to hurt your football program? Do the donors willingly line up and start paying players and say, let's just hold off on football. Let's hold off on this or hold off on that. I don't have the answer to it. I just know that there's a lot of money out there in America right now. The Trump years were great. The stock market's gone crazy. These things are all funded with stock investments and the capital gains with so many of these foundations and wealthy people. There's money out there like never before. And we'll see that at Texas next year, as this is apparently going to be they spent a lot of money on the acoustics of the building, which I think is really cool. I think that's cool even for basketball. I don't know why more arenas don't think about acoustics when they're built. They do a little bit, but they're kind of a secondary thought because it's expensive. Like the Kauffman Center acoustics compared to the T-Mobile Center acoustics for music there's just no comparison. There's no comparison, but apparently there's some deep thought and a lot of money invested into this as an arts center. The Moody Center will open next year in Austin, Texas. Eric Bieniemy will not be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Dennis Allen is the new coach of the New Orleans Saints. It's pretty hard to argue with this hire. Dennis Allen's been there as the defensive coordinator in New Orleans longer than Eric Bieniemy's been with the Chiefs as offensive coordinator. Dennis Allen was tasked with coaching the team this year when Sean Payton was out because of COVID, and all he did was beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and shut them out. Pretty good. Pretty good. Dennis Allen, I'm sorry, it's the right hire. It's the best hire. He knows every player, the owners, this is handing it along. You would like to think Andy Reid, when he retires, would have somebody on staff that they can hand it to and say he's the guy. Right now, that looks like Eric Bieniemy. I don't know that it is. 15 teams have now interviewed Eric Bieniemy. That means half the league knows him very well. He's the only coach so far that Andy Reid can't get hired. He's gotten everybody hired. He loves to get his guys hired. You know why Andy Reid likes to get his offensive coordinators hired? Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, one to another. Why does he like to get his offensive coordinators hired? Because they don't do much. Andy's the guy. He's like, let's get this guy a job and move him on, and I'll bring another guy in and teach him the craft, and here we go. And here's the truth, because that's what we do here on this podcast. Chiefs won't say it. They decline this. They deny it. They say that I'm crazy and I'm picking on them. Oh, yeah, you're picking on that billion-dollar football team. What the Chiefs wanted to have happen was Eric Bieniemy to get hired and promote Mike Kafka. He's a better coach with a better future. It's what he is. Look, 15 teams and the Chiefs, that's 16 essentially, half the league, don't say no to a coach because of racism. That's not how sports works. You can argue till you're blue in the face. I don't care. All these liberals out there that want to make some big deal about this can. Find me the candidates. Go hire Stanford's coach away. Stanford's coach is thought of as one of the brightest coaches in the country. Go hire him away. What has he told the NFL? No thanks. I'll stay right here. Shaw says, I'll stay right here at Stanford. Of course he will. Eric Bieniemy, nobody ever reports this, was offered the head coaching job at Colorado. He turned it down. 15 teams have said no thanks to Eric Bieniemy. People say, well, it's not fair to say that he interviews poorly. Okay, I'll cede you this point. Most of these interviews aren't fair. He had no chance to get this job. He didn't. Dennis Allen was sitting there. Dennis Allen was going to get the job unless something unusual came up. Dennis Allen knows every player on the team. He knows the system. He's done a great job defensively with the Saints, which has been their calling card the last few years. They've owned the Bucs because of their defense. Eric Bieniemy is not the right hire for the New Orleans Saints. Look, the Rooney Rule is hurting black coaches. Can we say the most uncomfortable thing? The Rooney Rule is hurting black coaches. Eric Bieniemy's reputation is tarnished because of the Rooney Rule. Because the Rooney Rule says everybody has to interview a black candidate when there's a job open. Head coaching job. Well, not everyone is qualified to be an NFL head coach. I'm not. Are you? Is Eric Bieniemy? I've been consistent since the beginning of this podcast. I do not think Eric Bieniemy is a head coach. I don't think he'd be a good hire. I don't want him to be head coach of the Chiefs. There's a myriad factors of why I say this. Most head coaches are bad, right? Most of them get fired and never win a playoff game. Most of them. I don't see it with Eric Bieniemy. I've never seen it. I know what the Chiefs' ridiculous system is for calling plays. It's a sham. Mike Kafka may be a terrible coach, but you know what? At the young age of, what is he, 32, 33? He looks like he's got an upside that is insanely great. Everything about him. Truly. And that's not picking on Eric Bieniemy. Sometimes living your life as a black man in America, getting the opportunity to play football, be arrested for multiple crimes, be given second, third, and fourth chances, allowed the opportunity to work your way up in coaching, and becoming an offensive coordinator that makes $2 million a year in America, sometimes that's good enough. Would you be proud of your kid if they became vice president of the United States? I would. That doesn't mean they're going to be president or they'd even be a good president. This whole debate of what's going on in the NFL loses sight of the fact that becoming an offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs and making $2 million a year is a hell of a life. You had a great college career. You played in the NFL. You got away with some crimes. You set a person's house on fire. You abused some women. You did all kinds of stuff. You're a different person now. You're a better person. America gave you a chance. Then she gave you a second chance. Then she gave you a third chance. Then you worked your way up and you're a good man. And you've done really nice things. And you make $2 million a year as an offensive coordinator. That's not enough in America? We got to call this league racist over that? I can't go there. Too many teams have said no. They know him. I've been around him. There's nothing wrong with Eric Bieniemy. I trust him to babysit my kids. There's nothing wrong. I'm not taking any shots at the guy. It's just fair to say I don't see him as a head coach. And neither does this league. And the Rooney Rule's making him look bad. It is. It's tarnishing him. We had 8 coaches fired this year. 2 of them have been replaced with minorities. That's 25%. Is that equal to the percentage of players in the league? No. But it's twice the black population. So what we have to look at, or the way I look at it, is in a hiring pool, I look at a pool. How many candidates are out there? How many legitimate candidates? Let's forget about race. But if you want to bring in the discussion of race and say, why is this happening? We have to look at the actual numbers. What's the talent pool? How many former players that are black that make the most money in this league, how many of them really want to get into coaching? Not very many. The more you made as a player, the less likely you are to become a coach. Most coaches are journeymen. They're Mike Kafka. You got a cup of coffee in the NFL. You didn't make any money in pro football. You want to get into it. Bieniemy was a superstar college player, made money in the NFL, lived the life of Riley for how many years, ran his game, was really something. He lived that life. Then it fell apart on him. He got in legal trouble. He had all kinds of trouble. He needed to get into coaching. He didn't know anything other than football. They gave him an opportunity. Would they have given that opportunity to a white coach with the same background? I don't know. All I know is they're trying really hard to hire black coaches at every level in the NFL and bring them up the ladder. They're doing that. And it led to a black coach being hired by the Houston Texans named Lovie Smith, who coached 9 years for the Bears and was mediocre at best, then went to Illinois in college and got destroyed. The total of his last 2 stops as a head coach at the end, his last seasons, were not good. Not good. His last 4 or 5 years coaching as a head coach, 25-63. Not good. It's just not good. Lovie Smith is now the head coach of the Texans. And they said, well, we've got a proven leader. And he is. He's a good man. He's a leader of men. Herm Edwards fits into this category. Good man. People like him. Hire him away. Maybe you could. I'm sure if the NFL called, Herm would leave Arizona State, take an NFL job. Is that what we're talking about, is just finding black coaches and getting them out of colleges and recycling them, even though they weren't great the first time around? Maybe. 2 of the 8 coaches that were fired were replaced by minorities. That doesn't sound horrific to me. Our next story is really interesting. Stick around for this, and it's local. We're brought to you today by Buck Roofing and Construction. Online at rbuckroofing.com. That's R as in Ron. Ron Buck's team is available right now to inspect your roof. You had all that snow and ice on there. You've seen some ceiling spots with the melting. You better make the call. It's free, 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Dr. Jeremy and his team at Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations in Kansas City. The first appointment is always free. This is your Invisalign headquarters. For adults and teenagers, Invisalign leads to fewer appointments, less time missed from work or school. It's less painful. It's better hygiene. Only Fry Orthodontics is doing Invisalign for the same price as braces. So why wouldn't you consider this? If you always thought, boy, I just don't think I could ever do braces. I don't want, you know, they'll do them and they're outstanding and their work's phenomenal. But Invisalign could be for you. The only way to find out is your free first appointment, the consultation. Log on to fryorthodontics.com, find the location near you, or just call this one number and they'll tell you what's closest. 469-9191. That's 469-9191, online at fryorthodontics.com. And my man Hutch over at Amazing Garage Floors. Spoke with him yesterday on the phone. We're working on something really fun for the podcast. For one listener of the podcast, we're working on something really fun this spring for you. A dream garage. Somebody's going to win it. You just hang in there. It's Hutch's idea. So I'm on board, man. He's always coming up with cool ideas. He sent me a video yesterday from Royals Fantasy Camp. He went to fantasy camp for the first time, and a guy playing third base on George Brett's team climbed the fence and caught a foul ball and brought it back in. And I retweeted it. If you want to see it, it's on my Twitter, at KK Has Issues. And I retweeted a CBS Sports tweet of this may be the biggest highlight of the Major League Baseball season. Because as you know, they're locked out. Anyway, Hutch loves sports, and he loves garage floors, and they do great work. Now's the time. Think about this spring getting your driveway sealed, and then you don't have to worry about all the erosion when you throw the salt and sand on it every winter. Do this. I got a great email from a listener yesterday who said his house is 4 years old. The first year they were there, they were throwing the stuff on the concrete. They could already see some erosion, and he had Hutch do his driveway last fall, and this is the first year he's thrown that stuff on his sidewalk and driveway and felt like, boom, I can just throw this stuff. AmazingGarageFloors.net. And, of course, Mike Robinson and his team at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I mistexted Mike yesterday. I got a new driver. We're going to be leaving town this weekend. I won't be on the podcast on Monday. Spencer will be on with Stan Weber. The Super Bowl recap. I went out and bought a new driver. I haven't bought a new driver in 11 years. I did not know that. I tried to trade my driver in. And they offered me $8 for it. $8. Not 10, not 5, $8. I looked online. It was a good driver. It's a TaylorMade R11 from 2011. And you can buy one pretty much anywhere for like 35 bucks now. Anyway, I kept it. I'll put it in a second bag or something or just hang on to it for $8. I'm not getting rid of it. So I get to the car. I bought one of those new carbon drivers. I'm getting way off topic here. And I sent it to my buddies that I'm going on a golf trip with in April and said, you boys are toast. Titanium is dead. Carbon is the new driver face. And I'm all over it. And I thought I sent it to my friend Rob, but I didn't. I sent it to Robin's son, Mike Robinson. I said, sorry for texting you in with my golf buddies. They're a piece of work. And he says, no big deal. Sounds like an interesting group. So he was texted into my golf. And send me an email if you have one of a weird text you've ever sent. If you've ever mistexted or mis-emailed someone, I'm starting to get some of those in. We talked about it on the Patreon podcast yesterday. I'm going to be reading some of those on a future Patreon podcast, some of the stuff we do over there with the patrons. But if you've ever had a weird text that you grouped somebody in or did something, send me your story. Not too long, short-ish, 50 words, couple paragraphs, something, 75, something like that, if you've done that. That was mine with Mike Robinson yesterday. He probably would have felt better if I texted him something about cars because he really knows a lot about cars. And if you don't know a lot about cars, know this. You will save money at Roberts Robinson, and they can build it just like you like it. Any Chevy, any Buick, any GMC, any time. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Good folks. This story is incredible. I saw this in the Kansas City Star. A woman named Deborah Fox is the president of Highland Community College in Kansas. The headline of the opinion piece in the Kansas City Star is, quote, "She's got to go." So Deborah Fox is the president of the school, and she was investigating a basketball team. I don't know if it was the women. I think it was the women's. The women's basketball team and the football team for either discrimination or lack of leadership or, you know, whatever. Social justice, whatnot. This was what was on the line. So she's being supposedly in control and in charge of doing the right thing. But then it goes all wrong. They're basically interviewing one football player who appears to be a bad seed, but the players on the team follow him. He's also black, which is the most important component of this story, of course. The complaint in the Star, the opinion piece, goes on to say, as a result of what she has done here and what she has said, and we'll get to that in a moment, we don't just question her leadership. There's no question at all. She's got to either resign or be fired by the college's board of trustees. Her remarks, not just insensitive but insane, were made during an October meeting about racial issues within the program. Players had gathered to discuss what they saw as the harassment of black athletes. The college president singled out one of the more vocal players as being too negative and, in her mind, wielding too much influence with other players on the team. Quote, "You know leadership," unquote, Fox said, according to a recording shared with the Kansas City Star. Quote, "There's certain people that emerge as leaders, good or bad. Even though we don't like it, Hitler was a great leader," unquote. She went on to say he somehow, even for evil, moved and were able to do those things with people. It's terrifying. But that's what can happen when leadership isn't acknowledged and goes untapped or undirected. The Star writes, first, huh? In what sense was Hitler a great leader? And every kid who's seen a bad influence, correctly or not, is now Hitler? She answered questions to the Kansas City Star, which was her undoing. I did the same thing in 2019. You don't talk to their opinion board. You just let them rake you over the coals. Don't give them a quote. Lesson learned. I learned the hard way. She's learned the hard way. She said, I am sickened and horrified that a discussion that included diversity and leadership was taken out of context and used in this manner, and only a selected sentence of audio was shared. I was speaking on our responsibility as educators to direct leaders in a positive way. Fox wrote to students in trying to explain away her Hitler comparison. Some leadership styles are negative, she said. Adolf Hitler was that example. He's an example of someone able to influence in a negative way. We as a society may not like considering what he did as leadership, but unfortunately it was. That statement that is being used in the recording is that Hitler was a good leader, and good or bad, we may not like it, but he was a leader, an effective leader. I followed up that statement speaking on how horrific Hitler's crimes were. I regret those words were selected and used in a manner for harm for others' personal gain. I thought I was engaged in a professional conversation about growth and diversity and developing students in a positive way. This obviously was not the situation from the persons that made or shared this recording. Okay, so I can't make a full judgment on this. I don't have enough information. I haven't heard the recording. I don't know. I believe that president. I believe that it is fair to say, if we're being honest, I believe it is an honest statement to say leadership, great leaders can be terrible for you or for your football team or for your school board or for your Congress or for your White House. Great leaders can be bad for you. Leading means people follow. We've seen this time and time again with cults. We saw it in Jonestown. You guys remember Jim Jones? An unbelievable leader of people. He mind-bent these people to go to Guyana and drink Kool-Aid and kill themselves. Where do you think the term he's drinking the Kool-Aid comes from? That was from Jim Jones. A horrific human being. Just a dreadful, awful, one of the worst people that's ever lived, human beings. But an unbelievable leader, because thousands of people followed him to their death. It's unbelievable what can happen. The Star's taking a more shallow point. What they're upset with was they think she was picking on a black football player, and they can't get that out of their head. Now, we'll forget that a black woman changed her name to Goldberg to get into Hollywood and sat on a network TV show last week and said Jews aren't a race. Star doesn't care about that. They care about this woman, who I'm guessing is a liberal. That's a guess. I'm guessing she's a liberal. She was rolling up her sleeves as the president with sports teams to create a comfortable and diverse environment. That's what her goal was. Is Hitler now the N-word? Is it like, you can't say Hitler? I don't know if you can say Hitler or not. I don't know whether you can. Clearly, the Star has decided that's the N-word and that this lady, Deborah Fox, cannot mention Hitler. Forget that they teach Nazi history at Highland Community College, which they most certainly do. Every college in America teaches history that includes Nazi Germany. I'm torn by this story. I'm done with cancel culture. This is sickening. From what I've read in the account, even a one-sided opinion piece where they're trying to sway us to fire this woman, I don't see anything in there to fire her for. I believe her comments that that's what she was doing. Now, I'd like to hear the whole audio tape. I reserve the right to change my mind. I'm not saying set in stone that I'd fire or not fire her today. I need to hear the whole recording. If I hear the whole recording, and maybe the Star would like to put that up, if you hear the whole recording of her speaking to these people, we can judge for ourselves. I think that's reasonable, but keep an eye on this story. Deborah Fox, Highland Community College president, comparing bad leadership on sports teams to Hitler. And it's generally not a good idea. I'm not supporting that. It's generally not a good idea to take a sports team and compare it to Nazi Germany. It's just not. It's not. But you got to understand the background of these people. You know, she may be, I don't know, but, you know, I used to be pretty close to John Wiefold, who was the president at Kansas State, and I always thought he would say some weird things. Things that I thought weren't really connected to the life out here. And I realized he's not only a very smart man, He was a tremendous president for Kansas State, but he had a hole in his game. He had a gap like everybody has. He was a history professor. His life was driven in today's times by things that happened thousands of years ago. He wrote books, unbelievably great books about history. The Roman Empire. It's just not a great comparison to compare today to the Roman Empire. You can learn lessons from the Roman Empire or Nazi Germany or whatever. You can learn lessons, but the comp doesn't work in today's real world. Most people out here don't like those comparisons. They just don't add up for a lot of people. They don't. Okay, before we turn to news and away from sports, I would like to remind you that 360 Document Solutions is your one-stop shop to make your business more productive. Whether it's copiers, IT solutions, outsourcing IT, mailing systems, phone systems, or just a helping hand, hey, you can be better at this. We can get you a cheaper toner to print with. They've got it all. They'll do a complimentary analysis of all your document technology and IT programs at your office. It's free. The review is free. It costs you nothing. Then they'll offer you something that costs you less and gets you out of what you're in. Makes you more efficient. 360documentsolutions.com. Oh, bstock.net's on fire this week. 58-inch Samsung. Best Buy's doing a big nationwide deal right now. They got the 58-inch Samsung. They've lowered the price. I think it's to $499. Bstock, just for the hell of it. Chris sends me a text yesterday, says, you know what? Let's just jack with them here in Kansas City. I'll undercut them by $100. They're making a big national advertising push on a 58-inch Samsung for $499. It's $399 at B-Stock. That's the lowest price B-Stock's ever had. 58-inch beauty, Samsung, $399 right now. B-Stock.net or visit them, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. That's my man TJ at Back 9. He can do room additions, custom homes, commercial properties. Right now he's featuring tours of the Solheim condominiums at Grand Mere. If you're planning a golf outing to Colbert Hills this spring, swing by and take a look. The friend you can't mention on the podcast owns one of those units, and I think they're using it as a model right now. There you go. That gives you a reason to call TJ. 785-236-0161. TJ Vilkanskis, back9development.com. All right, on to the news. We did a podcast. I get confused sometimes. We did a podcast last week, and I don't remember. I think this might have been part of a patron podcast where I talked about the state of Kansas and redistricting in Kansas, that they're going to swing District 3 here in the Kansas City area to be more Republican. They're going to take half of Wyandotte County, send it into District 2, I believe it is, and absorb that and be able to win and take down into Ottawa, Paola, Miami County, some of these places in Kansas. We'll extend District 3 down there into a more conservative area. This is the year that everybody's redistricting. All states are doing this. They do it every decade. It happens everywhere. In New York, I was feeling real good about what Kansas is doing because they've got a supermajority and they're going to be able to override the veto of the governor. So they're going to get it done in Kansas. Then I read a story about New York and how they're doing it there, and they're actually going to pick up two Democrat seats because they're going to gerrymander there, which is all legal. Democrats are in control. They control everything. They can change it, and they are changing it. And I thought, ooh, okay. Now I've read a story that Obama's people have been in place for several years getting ready for this gerrymandering and that they take it more seriously than Republicans do. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. Wouldn't Republicans just be completely serious about this? And then I see what happened in Missouri last night. Oh, my God, Missouri's got a problem. Missouri drew up a map that was going to take Emanuel Cleaver's seat away from him in his district. It was going to become more rural, less city, and the Republicans would have a great chance to win it and own Missouri with seven Republicans and one Democrat in D.C. in Congress, in the House of Representatives. Are you ready for this? 14 Republicans voted against it. The rhinos in Missouri all voted against it. 14 of them. This thing got smashed. It didn't even come close to passing. This is absolutely nuts. 14. It was like 24-8 was the final vote or something. 14 Republicans voted against redistricting in Missouri and adding a Republican seat, or what would likely add a Republican seat in D.C. Guess what's not happening in Democrat states, Missouri? That's not happening in Democrat states. That's not happening in California. That is not happening in New York. It's not happening in New Mexico. It's not happening in Washington. You know the states. It's not happening there. The Democrats are not standing down saying, well, this doesn't really seem fair. They're saying it's legal. We're going for the jugular. That's what they're doing in Kansas. You need to do it in Missouri. You people need to get this together. I had no idea. They got a chance to take Emanuel Cleaver's seat away from him. Can you imagine the impact on Kansas City if Cleaver's seat flips red and Sharice David's flips red? Can you imagine the positive impact on our city if all our Congress people are now Republicans? What an unbelievable impact. This would be the best thing for Kansas City, Missouri that ever happened. They don't even know it. Getting a Republican in Cleaver's seat would do wonders for Kansas City, Missouri. Instead of the grifting the liberals have been doing to the black community and the urban community in this country for decades, flipping those seats and getting people in there to roll up their sleeves and create business and opportunity would be phenomenal for this city. And 14 rhinos in Missouri voted against it. I'm shocked. Look, I know there's rhinos out there, and I know there's things that this is the easy one. This is legal. This is not illegal. This is legal. Does it seem fair? No. But do you think the Democrats care if it's fair? You only get to do this every 10 years. You were elected. You have an obligation to your party to get as many members of your party in power as possible. Trump won Missouri by 21 points. This is not controversial in the state of Missouri. Pass the redistricting. Get Cleaver's seat. Take it from him. It's time for him to retire. He's a good man. As Democrats go, he's more sensible than most. I got nothing against Emanuel Cleaver. But if we can get him out, this whole city becomes a better place to live. It does. It just does. We believe in conservatism. We believe in less government. We believe in more growth and business opportunity and lower taxes and all these things. It will be great for our city. If we can get Sharice Davids and Emanuel Cleaver out, it's great for our city. Let's do it. If you live in Missouri and you listen to this podcast, call your representative and call your state senator. Look them up. Missouri.gov. Look them up. Call them. There's a real chance that yours is one of the 14 that voted against this. This is criminal. They were elected to go there and do the right thing. The right thing is the legal thing. If you voted for the Republican and they call themselves Republican, they have to be Republican. 14 of them voted against the redistricting plan. Makes me want to lose my cool, man. I'm telling you. Oh, later today, I'm headed out to Finch Knife Company to see Spencer and Steve and the people at Teague Tractor and Farm, which supplies the Finch Pocket Knives. We're going to learn more about their business today. Antique Tractor and Farm. So we're looking forward to going out there and seeing them. Doesn't matter where you live, you can order one of these beautiful pocket knives online at finchknifeco.com. This company's born in Kansas City. If you have a store and you would like to stock these in your store, just go to the website, get a hold of Spencer or Steve. They would love to stock you up with Finch pocket knives, the hottest thing going in the pocket knife industry. They're only 3 years young. But man, they keep life from getting dull with Finch pocket knives. They are beautiful. They've got several new designs this year. Gorgeous pieces of art or everyday pocket knives online at finchknifeco.com. NKC Dental. This is Dr. Bill Bush. He's your new dentist. I'm sorry, unless you really, really like your dentist, and you may. I know a lot of people that don't really, they bounce around one dentist to another. I'm just talking about your checkups, your general dentistry. Dr. Bush is the man. He's Kansas City's dentist. That's what he is. He's online at nkcdental.com. He's got an office in North Kansas City and in Westwood. He's an award-winning dentist. He's a national speaker. He's in a select group of dentists with a mastership in the Academy of General Dentistry. He's the team dentist of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you think it's tough being the guy that comes in on Sunday night and fixes the teeth of a player that got a tooth knocked out, well, he loves it. Dr. Bush loves sports. He loves the Chiefs. And he likes fixing their teeth when they get teeth knocked out. This is regular dental care, folks. Your regular checkups, perfect. You're looking for implants, crowns, veneers. If you have TMJ or you want to do teeth whitening, if you have trouble sleeping, he can help with that. You name it, he's got it. And he's the best. NKCDental.com, Dr. Bill Bush. The White House yesterday said the thing out loud that they weren't supposed to say. Jen Psaki was talking about backing the school mask mandates. They're falling all over the place. New Jersey's dumped theirs. These are falling everywhere. These kids should never have been wearing masks. It's criminal. It's awful what we've done to our kids. Jen Psaki's a, wow, she's hard to watch. So she's up there trying to back the school mask mandates, saying they're for them, that we back mask mandates. But what did she say? See, words matter, and she said it. And what she said is the honest truth. What she said is okay. What she said, every American can agree with. What she said is okay with me. She said, we recommend masking in schools. Perfect. What a great stance. What a great stance. You can even say, we strongly recommend this. Then let the parents decide. We strongly recommend masking in school. I think you're going to see in the places that they covet, the heavily Democrat areas in public schools, I think they're still going to see 75% of the kids wearing masks. They're going to get that. There's going to be parents like that. Just do it. Jen Psaki said, we recommend masking in school. We recommend it. Yes, recommend all you want. The CDC's been recommending stuff for all our lives. The Surgeon General recommends you don't smoke. Recommend away. I love it when they actually say the truth. And she said this on Monday. And we'll finish with a stomach-turning story. A lot of times I like to finish on something uplifting and fun. I'm not doing that today. Oh, and by the way, I didn't get into Mike Tirico getting sent home from the Olympics. He made some comments about genocide and whatnot in China. He's coming home early. He's home. He was on last night on the Olympics, but that was 16 hours earlier or whatever. So he's home. He's got some Super Bowl assignments on Sunday, but he came home. I did a whole podcast on this yesterday for the patrons. If you'd like to join, go to kkhasissues.com and become a patron. We typically do about 3 patron podcasts and the newsletter every week on there. If you'd like to join, it's just $5. kkhasissues.com and hear about Mike Tirico and that story. So I would normally try to find something for the Olympics and say, oh, this happened, and I'll uplift you here at the end, but I can't. I read that Congress is now probing into the NIH, the National Institute for Health. A congressional probe is taking place about this beagle research, on beagles. This happened at Kansas State University and the University of Georgia. Shockingly, that's the two schools that all three of my children went to. The latest now, this is, we talked about the collars they wore that injected them with a sickness, ticks biting them, bacteria. It's just disturbing and gross, and they put the puppies down after several months of research. Now it is learned by the White Coat Project that last year we spent about $2.5 million going out and getting 7 6-month-old beagle puppies. They always pick on beagles because beagles are so docile. They just don't have much fight in them. They don't bite. They're not aggressive. They're docile animals. So they pick on beagles because it's easy for the scientist. Ugh. Last year, your tax dollars spent $2.5 million on training 6-month-old beagles how to wear a special vest. Once they were acclimated to wearing the vest and being comfortable with it, they injected cocaine into the vests and got the dogs hooked on cocaine. Do we not have enough data on people that are hooked on cocaine that we need to go do this to dogs? You cannot justify this. There is no justifying this. We know a lot about cocaine and cocaine use and what it does to humans and the millions of people that have used it. This is so tragic and cruel. These people are heartless. This is sick. You train these puppies to wear a vest. And after they're trained and they like it and they're used to it, you inject it with cocaine and you freak these dogs out. Of course, they'll never be healthy again after this, and they have to put them down. Unbelievable. This, according to this story, they filmed it. This is all on tape somewhere. Folks, we can sit here and talk about these stories, these dog torture and Fauci supporting this and the NIH and all. It's all his money. He's in charge of all of it, folks. I'm telling you, this is Fauci, and he believes in this science because these people are sick. For the most part, they have no God. They have no religion. Their religion is science. That's kind of what liberalism is about. They're looking for a hole in their life. They have no faith. Liberals don't have any faith in their life because they lack faith in a higher power or a being or a spirit or something that is bigger than man. Because they lack that, they get mired down in liberalism, and that becomes their religion. And it makes them crazy. Or in this case, science. If that video is found of those dogs freaking out on cocaine, this is all over. What we have is stories. We have proof. We have stories. But we don't have video. This is always the same way with any athlete. Like Alvin Kamara's in trouble for his nightclub incident the other night in Las Vegas after the Pro Bowl. But we haven't seen video of it yet. It's bad. He's arrested. Whatever. People think whatever. Now, if a video comes out and, you know, we find out that he sucker punched a guy and shoved a woman over or cracked a glass over somebody's head or whatever, we're going to look at it completely differently. Video matters. It shouldn't, but it does. I mean, this is just, it makes me sick to even say this, but I want this video out. I want this video out because I think it's going to save other dogs. I think it's going to stop this sick research. No response from Kansas State. They're putting a new president in. The outgoing president and all those people said, we review all the time what our protocols are here and what we research and what we don't research. But at this point, we have no plans of changing anything. Translation, K-State at this point gets so much money from the federal government, they'll just keep killing dogs. People are sick. You're sick. That's it for KKHI. Thanks so much for listening. Hit the like or follow button and tell your friends that Kevin Kietzman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.